Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. On today's Edgewise program, we have a former guest, Dan Coughlin. Dan is a management consultant and popular keynote speaker whose clients include Toyota, Shell, McDonald's, Roush, Fenway Racing, Prudential, and more than 150 other organizations. Dan can be reached via his website at www.thecoughlincompany.com. His latest book is entitled The Management 500, A High-Octane Formula for Business Success, and that's published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Dan, welcome to Edgewise.
Thanks very much.
You know, Dan, I have to say the title of your book is kind of intriguing. What does professional racing have to do with business management?
Dave, the great irony of the problems that the auto industry is facing right now is that the auto racing industry can teach corporate America an awful lot. What I was looking for was a case study of where people had to go very fast, perform at very high levels, and do so over a long period of time.
Right.
And with NASCAR, Formula One, and IndyCar racing series, I found really the perfect case study.
Okay.
The best business managers I've ever studied are focused on winning the Management 500, which is the real-world race to generate three consecutive years of sustainable, profitable growth. 1 year of profitable growth is really relatively easy, especially if you're in a very, very good company or in a company that's coming off a very bad year. But to do that 3 years in a row is very challenging. What auto racing does is provide a lot of subtle analogies and insights that managers can use to improve their performance.
Right. Share with us some of the key insights that you gained from auto racing that business managers can use right away. Can you give us some examples?
There's a lot of keys, but I'll just focus on three for right now.
Sure.
Prepare with precision. The best racing teams in the world prepare for months to win an individual race. There are engineers that focus on every technical detail of the car. The crew chiefs and the crew members study and practice every single detail of pit stops so that they can shave off valuable seconds on every pit stop. Drivers themselves get in the very best mental and physical shape possible. Some of them are at world-class levels of physical fitness. And all of this to win a three-hour race.
Mm-hmm.
Great business managers do the same thing to win the three-year Management 500 race. They strengthen their self-confidence. They get themselves physically and mentally ready. They get to know their customers, their employees, their suppliers. They know the marketplace. They understand the strategy. And then when they begin the race, they're ready.
Right.
On day one.
Yep.
Qualify for the pole position. This is another key for great drivers. The pole position in racing is the most important spot to start a race because you're in the very best position to win the race. Drivers that win the pole position the most often are also the drivers that win the most races.
Hmm.
But the interesting thing in racing is you don't get the pole position because of anything you've done in the past. It's not based on your record or your age or your experience. It's all based on the day before the race, there's a qualifying race, and whoever goes the fastest gets the best starting spot.
Interesting.
The same thing is true for a business manager. It doesn't really matter how many years of experience or how old the person is or how much success they've had in the past. They have to earn the pole position as a manager. And what I mean by that is, they really need to develop relationships with employees, with suppliers. If it's a franchise organization with key franchisees, they have to understand the customers so that when the race starts, they already have credibility.
Yeah.
If they blow it before the race begins in terms of really annoying people, they're not going to make very good progress. And then the third key from racing is lead the way. You know, what I found when I was studying these race car drivers is that every style of leadership works, except for one.
Mm-hmm.
There's one type of manager that just doesn't work, and that's the chameleon. That's the person who tries to change their leadership style depending upon who's in the room.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, absolutely. Michael Schumacher was the 7-time Grand Prix world champion in Formula One driving.
He was on the Ferrari team, right?
That's exactly right. And he was quiet. He was precise. He really didn't talk to the media very much. Then you got Richard Petty, 7-time Winston Cup Series champion for NASCAR. He was accommodating to fans. He signed autographs for hours. He avoided contact during the races. He tried to put himself in a position to win the race. He won 200 races in NASCAR. Dale Earnhardt Sr. was intimidating. He would knock cars out of his way if he had to. He was intimidating on the track and off the track. Jeff Gordon, 4-time NASCAR champion, was a clinician. He was just an expert at all the details of driving.
Right, right.
So if you're a business manager, the lesson to be learned on leadership from drivers is whatever your personality is, it can work. It can be successful. Just don't try to be a different person for every situation that you're in.
Dan, I have a question for you. What went into your determination of this 3-year time frame? What's the significance of 3 years?
What I found is that 90 days is just ludicrous.
Can you explain?
You know, at any size company, at very big companies like McDonald's and Coca-Cola and Boeing, and mid-sized companies and small businesses, you simply cannot achieve a great performance in 90 days worth of activities. You might get a great short-term program that gets fast results, but that's not how you build a great business. And 5 years was too long, because by the time the 5 years were up, so many people have changed, the marketplace had changed, society had changed, it was just too far out there.
Right.
A 3-year business plan, a 3-year focus is really a much more effective time frame than a quarterly goal or a 5-year goal.
It was just short enough and yet long enough to establish some sense of continuity, but not so long in scale and scope that it just seems almost unrealistic given today's variables.
It really is. When you think back 5 years ago, the world has dramatically changed. Take American Idol, for example,
yeah.
A show that no one really was dying to have. No one thought that amateur singers would become a major hit. But just since 2002, I believe it was the first season, look at the dramatic changes that show has had on society. So 3 years is really a much more manageable time frame to dig in, be strategic, and make an impact.
Now, a very important part of auto racing is this concept of innovation in the design of the vehicles, in the components, the tires, the technology strategies. What aspects of innovation from auto racing can business executives use to improve their results?
Let's start with the definition. Here's how I define business innovation. Business innovation is the process of creating additional value for customers that will be so meaningful that they would be willing to pay for it at a profitable margin to the organization. And you have to have both. It has to be value that customers are not currently receiving, and they have to be willing to pay for it at a profitable margin to your organization.
Right.
When I studied auto racing and was looking for insights on innovation, I interviewed Lee White, who's the president of Toyota Racing Development. I think they have something like 18 cars this year in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, how does an organization work to improve the performance of the Toyota race cars after the end of 1 year's racing season and before the beginning of the next season? And he said to me, it's not like that at all. It doesn't spread out year to year. We're constantly working to improve our product.
Hmm.
We don't wait until the end of the year to figure out how to get better for the next season. For us, finding ways to improve is a 52-week, 7-day-a-week process that never stops. We're a racing company. We rarely stop working, and we definitely never stop thinking. No matter how good the race car is and no matter how much our teams win, we always seek ways to help them improve.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
So that's how innovation plays such a critical role within auto racing.
Right.
So here's the lesson for business managers. Don't think of innovation as a once-a-year thing or a project thing or something that you do every 3 years.
Right.
Innovation is an everyday thing.
So what should organizations do?
An Indy car has a button inside the car called the takeover button. When you push the takeover button, it provides greater fuel and greater boost to your car, and so you can take over a car in front of you. I think it's a perfect analogy for a business innovation.
Yeah.
A business innovation can help a company boost ahead of the competition. But if you push the button too often, if you try to do too many innovations all at the same time, what you do is you end up bogging your company down because you're spreading yourself too thin.
Mm-hmm. Dan, I think you have an opinion that lessons can actually be learned from really large, very visible companies, companies of great note and global recognition, like Apple and Google and Pixar, lessons that can be applied to mid-sized and smaller businesses. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the lessons learned from these great companies can really be applied by any size company, even a one-person company.
For instance?
Number one, rather than trying to do a lot of things at an average level, just do a few things extraordinarily well. Apple, if you look back over the last 11 years, Apple's made 3 really extraordinary products, the iMac, the iPod, and the iPhone. But they did it by staying very focused.
Right.
Pixar, since 1995, has only made 10 films, starting with Toy Story, all the way up to Up. All 10 of them went to number 1 at the box office. And not only were they huge financial successes, they were also critical successes.
Absolutely.
When Sergey and Larry started working on Google, it was just two of them working in a graduate program at Stanford University, and they worked very hard on one product to make a great search engine. Another lesson from these great companies is find a real customer problem and solve it.
Right.
When Apple came out with the iPod, there were MP3 players out there, but there was a lot of illegal downloading of music, and music companies were really starting to crack down on this. So they created the iTunes Music Store, which really solved the customer problem. Google, the problem was there was no effective way to get to information on the internet. So they really focused on how they could make an effective search engine.
Exactly.
Another key, I think, from these three companies for a small company or a mid-sized company is be willing to say no to good ideas. Last year, in 2008, Apple was named the most admired company in the world by Fortune magazine. And Steve Jobs was quoted as saying, "A lot of people think the key to focus is saying yes to the thing you want to focus on. That's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that are there. We don't get a chance to do that many things, and every one should be really excellent." And here's the last point from these three companies. Start small, improve, and expand.
Mm-hmm.
Pixar. 1970, Ed Catmull came up with this idea to create a feature-length computer-generated film. Toy Story didn't come out until 1995, 25 years later.
Hmm.
What they did was they made a one-minute film, then they made a five-minute film, then they made some commercials, and they worked their way up to a full-length film. And Google just started with a few friends, and then it expanded inside Stanford, and then it went worldwide. So I think there are some really powerful lessons to be learned from these three great companies that any size company can use.
Hmm. Let's come back around to this idea of racing again, and NASCAR in particular. NASCAR has demonstrated extraordinary success in their branding efforts. What lessons on branding can business executives in general learn from NASCAR?
Of all the athletic industries out there, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, I think NASCAR is the best at branding.
Yep.
I went to a NASCAR race that started at 7 o'clock. I got there at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I just wanted to soak it in. What is a major NASCAR race like? Three lessons stood out for me. Number one, I walked up and down pit row for about an hour and 15 minutes before the actual race started. Pit row is where all the cars are for the race. And what I saw was maybe 300 or 400 fans walking up and down pit row, and they would go into the actual area where the cars are, and they would get their pictures taken with the crew members. Think about this. This person's all excited. They get their picture taken, but then they go home and they show this picture of them standing inside the actual area where their favorite driver is going to be getting their car taken care of. And here are all the corporate logos in the background. What tremendous advertising for these companies.
Yeah.
So the first lesson is intersect corporate sponsors, companies, and customers.
Right, exactly.
As a business manager, think about how your business can create an intersection where you have sponsors, your own company, and customers all together in one place. Here's the second lesson. Spend a lot of face time with customers in a variety of situations. During the day that I walked around in Joliet, Illinois, at the Joliet Speedway, there were drivers meeting with fans before the race at a variety of locations. Between the races, there are drivers that provide ride-alongs where fans can ride in the car with the drivers. There were drivers doing interviews on the radio and on television. There were driver faces on T-shirts, mugs, posters. So what they do is they build this connection with their customers, with their fans, that is incredibly loyal. And then the third lesson on branding that I found from NASCAR that day was put a lot of value in one place. There's the actual race, but outside the race, there's an incredible amount of value that's provided for fans. There was an all-day outdoor concert going on. There was a carnival with actual barkers yelling out that their items were inside these huge tents, and you go inside these tents and there were these beautiful large-screen televisions. There probably were 20 souvenir stands. There was even an Abraham Lincoln Museum
of course,
right outside the racetrack where people could just go in and experience the museum. And there were over 100,000 people at the race. So put a lot of value in one place that will attract customers to you and provide a variety of value.
Right.
You may have to create partnerships with other types of companies or sponsors, but create places where a lot of value is there that can attract a large number of customers.
We've been speaking to Dan Coughlin, author of the new book, The Management 500, A High-Octane Formula for Business Success. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Dave, thanks very much.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.